looking at John's gospel, light of the world, because we want to learn how to better delight in Jesus through this gospel. Now, with it being August and with us having lots of people coming and going, we have a time of all-age worship, but I'm aware that the large percentage of our children and young people are away today. So those who are here, I need your help more than ever, okay? So, I just realise when I read John's Gospel that the world of Jesus was very, very different to the world in which we live today. So what do we have that they didn't? Anybody want to suggest a few things? What's different today than 2,000 years ago? What do we have that they didn't? What was this? Cars. They didn't have cars. They didn't have much technology. What else? They didn't have glue. Light as in Pritt stick. You want to know what this Pritt stick is for. They did have patience. So I'm going to ask you to have a 5 minutes worth of patience, then I'll tell you all about the Pritt stick. Is that all right? I'll tell you what they did have. They had shopkeepers, and they had publicans, and they had tax collectors. Everyone's always had tax collectors, haven't they? And they had soldiers, and they had lots and lots, and lots and lots of shepherds. And I was just thinking, there are loads and loads of shepherds in the Bible. The first shepherd in the Bible is Abel, the son of Adam and Eve. He presented a sheep to God. We have Abraham. He was working as a shepherd when God spoke to him through a burning bush. We had Abraham, the father of faith. Steve's just shaking his head there. Moses, God spoke to. Abraham, the father of faith, who was also a shepherd. We had Amos. He was a prophet of God. And in the Bible, God often refers to himself as a shepherd of God's people, which means that he speaks to us as if we were sheep. But you know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, before Jesus, the shepherd who is better known, more famous than any other shepherd, is David. And David was raised in a place called Bethlehem. And before he was a king, he was a shepherd who was also a songwriter. And one of his best known songs is a song called "The Lord is My Shepherd." I want to move on because what I want to do is paint a picture. What I want you to understand is that when Jesus came, he came into a world of shepherds, and he came into a world where God was speaking of himself as a shepherd and was speaking of his people as sheep. So we're going to look from John chapter 10 this morning, just these few verses. And Jesus says this: "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand would run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and he doesn't really care about the sheep." Jesus said again, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too, and they're not of this sheepfold, but I must bring them in also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd." Now, you want to know what the Pritt stick's for, don't you? So what we have are some activities. I'm just going to show you the activities. On the right, we have Gareth. That's what I did the other day. I was quite impressed with my little self. And you can be impressed as well if you want. And if you want to make a sheep and put your name on it, you're really welcome to come down here. We have parents who need to supervise with the Pritt stick and with the eyes. And we also have some worksheets, the six things we're going to look at. And if you want to fill in those things, that would be great. And underneath each title, there's a little dotted line. And if you want to write just one thing or one word that you want to talk to me or your parents or carers about afterwards, that would be good, just one thing. So, kids, attack. Prit stick, scissors, make yourself sheep. Come on, please. This has taken me hours. Please, utilise them. Okay. So the six things that I want to look at here about Jesus as a shepherd. And the first thing I want to look at is this, that Jesus is a shepherd who is personal. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Now, if I were to look at a field of sheep, I would suggest that most of those sheep, to me, with an untrained eye, would look all the same. But Jesus says that sheep don't look all the same because I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I remember many years ago my dad telling me a story because he had a cousin who was a sheep farmer in North Wales. And when my dad was a much younger man, he went to stay with his cousin. And his cousin looked over this field and said, I've got two sheep that are missing. And my dad just shrugged and thought, well, how do you know? How can you tell? Because all my dad could see were sheep. And he realised that there were fences. He realised that there were ditches. He realised that there were trees that other sheep could be hiding behind. But he knew he had two sheep missing. So he said to me, Dad, get in the Land Rover. And they went through all of these country lanes. And abruptly he stopped and he said, they're my sheep. And my dad laughed. Because those sheep look like every other sheep. And so my dad's cousin went and knocked on the farmer's door and he said, you've got two of my sheep. And the farmer protested. He said, no, look, they've all got my brand on them. And so my dad's cousin said, I'll prove it to you. And he called. And as he called, every other sheep remained. But these two sheep came to him because he knew his sheep. And his sheep knew them. And then he told the farmer who had taken them their dental records. He didn't just know them generally. He knew them intimately. I want to just switch back to Psalm 23 for a minute. And I want to read this psalm to you in a way that you've never heard it before. I just want to put emphasis on three words. I, me, and my. And I just want you to hear David's relationship with God. This is what David said. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they protect and they comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. I just want you to hear this. The Lord is our shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. And today Jesus can be your shepherd. And he says that I know you. And his heart and his hope is that you too would know him. The second thing I want to draw out is this, that Jesus is a shepherd who is perfect. I've never really noticed this before, but Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He didn't say, I am a shepherd, or I am one who is good at shepherding. He said, I am the good shepherd. And the thing about Jesus is this: we often think about his qualities. We often rejoice that he is all-knowing. We rejoice that he's ever-present. We rejoice that he's all-powerful. But sometimes we forget that our God is forever good. And so we trust him as a shepherd, not because he's great at shearing sheep, or he's great at building fences, or he's great at calling the vets when the vet is required. But he's a good shepherd because intrinsically he is good. And therefore, we can trust him. And I don't know about you, but there's times things happen and I wonder why. And there's things that God allows that I wished he didn't. And there's times he says something that fundamentally, in my humanity, I would even want to disagree with. But somehow, somewhere, we call to submit. Why? Because Jesus is intrinsically good, and therefore all he does is good. This personal shepherd is not just good at shepherding, but he's a good and a gracious and a perfect shepherd. Jesus is a shepherd who is protective. Now, when we read the passage, Jesus said, I'm not a hired hand. Jesus said a hired hand, when a wolf comes, would simply flee because he would put his safety before protecting the sheep. Jesus said that he was a good shepherd who would ultimately lay down his life for his sheep. But sometimes people reduce the Lord's protection to make Jesus feel cozy and safe, like a hot water bottle or cotton wool. Jesus' comfort is something for some people that's kind of floral or ethereal. But listen to what not just Jesus says, listen to what David says. David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jesus isn't one who just rubs our back and sings a melody to us. Jesus is one who has a shepherd's crook in order to save us from danger. Jesus is one who has a staff in order to prod us and poke us, to convict us of wrong and to drive us towards righteousness. He's not fluffy. He's strong and he's powerful. Jesus is a shepherd who is protective, not just in general, but he stands and fights and protects you specifically. Amen? How are we doing with these crafts? This is, blimey, that's fantastic. That's better than mine. We've got a sheep here with 23 legs. I don't know what's going on there. That would work great at the butcher's, wouldn't it? Jesus is a shepherd, Jesus is a shepherd who gives promises. This is what David said, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. Jesus gives you and me promises for this life. Scripture is full of promises, and we can take hold of those promises because the one who lived and the one who will return is the one who said he will never ever leave us or forsake us. But you know, Jesus gives us promises not just for this life but for the next life. And so even David, before Jesus, was able to say that he would live in the house of the Lord forever. And one of Jesus' best friends, Peter, he refers to Jesus as the great shepherd of the sheep. And he said that this great shepherd one day will appear in glory and receive a crown of never-ending honor. Isn't that good? That he gives us promises for today and promises for tomorrow. We're moving on, and we realize that Jesus is a shepherd who pursues us. In the passage we've read, we find that Jesus is saying that I have sheep, but of another flock. And Jesus is speaking to people of his own race. Jesus is speaking to Jewish people. But Jesus is talking of a time where he'll gather other non-Jewish Gentiles to himself. But elsewhere in another gospel, Jesus tells a story. And he said, I want you to imagine that a farmer, a shepherd, had 100 sheep. And the 99 are here, but the one has gone astray. And so what does the shepherd do? The good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes and pursues the one who is lost. And when he finds the one that's lost, he puts it on his shoulders. It's like a trophy, and he comes back, and everyone can see, and his family and his friends and his neighbors come to celebrate, not because he's got 99, but because he's saved and salvaged the one that was lost. And I'm looking around this room, and I know that there are people here who went away, and God in his grace pursued you. And I suspect that there are people in this room, and right now, even though you're here, your heart may be a long way from God. And I want you to know that he pursues you. And there'll be people whose children have gone away. And I want you to know that God in his grace still pursues them. And one day the Lord will return. With the prodigal, he will return. With the wayward sheep, he will return. To a time of great celebration. For those who are filling in the sheets, there's one left here. Jesus doesn't just pursue us, but Jesus provides for us all that we need. Psalm 23, we find that David said, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies." He provided for him physically. But we find that God also provides spiritually. He said, he anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. He was speaking about not just physical things, but spiritual things. The very, very presence of the Spirit of God. Now, I just wonder, you kids, have you ever spent time on a farm? Have you ever spent time in and around with sheep? Can I just say, they're not the brightest of creatures, are they? They kind of do their own thing, and they kind of go their own way, and they kind of get into bother. And this is why, of course, the Bible calls not just God and Jesus as the great and the good shepherd, but this is why the Bible says that we, like sheep, have gone astray, and each one of us turn to our own way. Coming back to the story, you remember what Jesus said? He said, I lay down my life for my sheep. And the wonderful thing about this great shepherd is this, that he became like you. He became like me. He understood our temptations. He identified with our experiences. And in the Old Testament, written before Jesus, time and time and time again, we see that sheep were slaughtered in order to atone, in order to redeem, in order to apologize, in order for God's people to see the seriousness of their sin. And Jesus himself, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, is the one who was laid down as a sacrifice for you, a sacrifice for me. Why? That we can know him personally. That we can know and delight in his perfections. That we this morning can experience his protection. That we can hold on to and delight and rejoice and take comfort through his promises. Because in Jesus, he makes every provision for us, for this life and the life to come. In Jesus' name, amen.